As you know, Thanksgiving is a day we usually stop and say thank you to the Lord for his many blessings. Usually we're expressing thanks for God's provision, for his provision. The original Thanksgiving was to stop and say thank you to God for providing for the pilgrims with their harvest. But today I want us to express our thanks for something more valuable than stuff, more valuable than food and provisions. God's redemption, God's salvation. We need to be thankful not only for our physical blessings, but for our spiritual blessings, for our eternal blessings. We need to regularly stop and thank God and marvel that God snatched us up out of the miry clay and put our feet on solid ground, that he saved a wretch like me. Where would you be now if God hadn't saved you, if God hadn't rescued you? Some of you have been saved, you've been with the Lord for decades. Some of you not so long ago. But don't let your memory slip. Think about what direction you were on, what imprisonment you were in, what addictions you had, what lostness you felt until Christ came into your life. So think back to that. Say, thank you, God, for rescuing me. Amen? This Thanksgiving, I want us to thank God for his love, for his mercy. Thank God that he rescued us, literally rescued us from the direction we were going. He saved us. He redeemed us. And I want to do that by sharing a beautiful psalm that expresses this kind of thankfulness. It's Psalm 107. It may not be that familiar to you. You'll recognize the first few verses, but when you get into the content of the passage, it's fabulous. Now, I know we've been going through a series first on David, then on Solomon. We'll get back to Solomon next week, but today, Psalm 107. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. I will be putting the verses up on the PowerPoint. I chose this psalm for two reasons. Number one, the message of thank God for his redemption. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, but also for its composition. It's really well written. Psalm 107 is beautifully written in a Hebrew type of poetry that is not rhyming. Our poetry has a tendency to rhyme, but rather it's repetition, and it's very descriptive. We'll get into that in a minute. But not only is it beautifully written, it's brilliantly written. It's a work of art. Its structure, it follows the same pattern over and over. It is literally word art. He uses words to tell us stories. So we don't know who the writer is of Psalm 107. It's not David. We're not sure who it is. But the pattern is going to become obvious that this man was a genius the way he wrote. So noticing the theme, it's expressed right from the beginning. In the first verse, I think you will recognize. It's on the front of your bulletin. It says Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks. That's what we're talking about Thanksgiving, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, I like to just make that two words, his love and kindness. Is that okay if I say love and kindness? Loving kindness, I don't know, sure, that's not a word we use too much. We do use the word love, and we do use the word kindness. So, oh, when you see the O at the beginning, oh, magnify the Lord with me, oh, taste and see. The O at the beginning is say, it's like an exclamation point at the beginning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. It means you'll give it some emphasis, for he is good. The theme cannot be missed, and that's what I titled my message by the first few words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. To whom are we thankful? Yes. To who? To the Lord. Now, I know at Thanksgiving, some people want to talk about the pilgrims being thankful to the Indians, and they were. And thankful for provision and for friendship. But mainly, the pilgrims stopped to say thank you to God for letting them survive. And we need to be thankful to the Lord, that, first of all, of course to others. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? For he is what? Do you believe that? He is good. He's loving. He's kind. Some wrongly believe that God is not good. They think, God has it out for me. They may not say it out loud, but down deep they're saying, why am I getting picked on? And we started looking at our troubles instead of looking at our blessings. This message tells us that God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Every good thing given and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. God is good. Do you believe that? You need to keep saying that even when you go through hard trips, when you go through troubles. Say, thank you, God, you are good. Who should give thanks? The redeemed. Look at the last section of this verse. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Twice we see the word redeemed. It means to bought back. Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? Do you realize that Jesus paid for you with his blood? That we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without spot or blemish? Precious blood of Jesus is why we are redeemed. He bought us back. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you tell people that you have a relationship with the Lord because of what Jesus did? There's a song, Since I Have Been Redeemed. You remember that song? Yeah, we don't sing those old hymns too much anymore, but I have been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I want you to say this. If you've been redeemed, I want you to say, I have been redeemed. I want you to do more than say so. I want you to shout so. Are you ready? Don't be shy of letting people know. Don't be shy, okay? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we who have experienced God's everlasting love and forgiveness should be continually thanking and praising God. I've been redeemed. What a miracle that he took me, a wretch like me, and saved me. I didn't deserve it. None of us do, right? None are deserving of what God has done. It's his mercy, his grace. And that last line says, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary or the hand of the enemy. Christ left heaven and came down to earth on a rescue mission to rescue mankind. We were enslaved to Satan, and God has snatched us out of his hand. He's rescued us from the eternal destruction. He's redeemed us with his precious blood. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to praise God and thank you, him, that he's reached out to us and lifted us up out of the miry clay. No wonder the redeemed should gush with gratitude. He keeps saying, thank you, Lord, that you redeemed me. We should overflow with thankfulness. Now, the theme of that book is repeated over and over. You know how a hymn has a verse and then a chorus, and you see the chorus over and over, but the verse changes? That's how the psalm is written. You're going to have four verses, but you got this refrain or this chorus or this hook. And I'm going to read it to you. It's in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. Four times we have the chorus. So there's going to be four stanzas and four choruses. Here's the chorus. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love and kindness, and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his love and kindness, and for his wonders to the sons of men. Anytime a verse is repeated over and over, we should take note of that. God is trying to tell us something here. And this is telling us we should be thankful for what God has done, that he had a pity on us. I hope you pause more than just on Thanksgiving Day to say thank you. I hope every day, every prayer is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've noticed that the psalm has a repeated refrain. Now let me show you the four stanzas or the verses. Like I said, it's like a hymn. So the first verse, as a matter of fact, you have an outline in your bulletin if you want to take notes. It's on the back of the scripture reading. There are four pictures that are painted with words, word pictures, descriptive, Hebrew poetry. They're dramatic and they're dark, but they always end up with a change, a light, a redemption that happens. That's a kind of a key theme. That we were this way, but God had mercy on us and we became that way. So that's what we're going to see. Are you ready? First one is, we were like lost travelers until God found us. That's your first point. We were like lost travelers until God found us. Imagine yourself lost. You ever been lost? Yeah? I get lost pretty easily, to be honest. I don't have a good sense of direction. When I lived in Oregon, you know, there's lots of trees, and they all look alike. I've went on some hikes where I got totally disoriented and lost. I've been hunting with friends, and I got so lost and so panicked that I shot my gun to make the other guys come and see if I shot something, you know. I get panicky when I get lost. You get panicky when you get lost? It's kind of scary. You ever get lost at the mall? Forget where you parked your car? None of you have ever done that, right? Well, this is the worst kind of loss. Let me read about it. It's in verses 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find their way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. The psalmist here is picturing somebody who's helplessly lost. He can't find a town, a city. He's out there just wandering around, and he's out of water. He's out of food. You know, it's very difficult to be lost. And that's what he wants us to realize, that when we're without Christ, we're like lost souls. We may know where we're at physically, but we're wandering from relationship to relationship. Wandering from job to job, looking for fulfillment. Wandering from thrill to thrill, from theme park to theme park. We're looking for that happiness, searching for fulfillment, searching for a reason in life. They are restless and lost, desperately looking. They're hungry and thirst. Does this describe you? Is there an emptiness inside? Some of you have never really come close to God. Maybe you're just kind of wandering through life and kind of just unsure what direction to go. Fortunately, there is an answer, an oasis. That answer is God. Look at the next couple verses. This is still the lost travelers. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. So you see, the problem was that they're lost and they prayed. That cried out is going to come up over and over in this chapter. They cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. Only God can deliver you. Only God can rescue a lost soul. Only God can fill an empty heart. And that's what the psalmist is saying, is that without Christ, we're like lost wanderers, hungry and thirsty and searching for satisfaction. Jesus is the only one that can fill that. St. Augustine said, Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Let me read that again. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. That's what he's picturing here. Now that's the end of the first stanza. Now there's that refrain that I told you about. It keeps coming up. He says, oh, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. So it keeps coming back to, thank you, Lord. We were lost. Thank you. Why should we give thanks? Verse 9 continues, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul. We just said that he's thirsty and hungry, and God is the only one that can satisfy that inner thirst, that inner hunger. Jesus said, anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. And the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Isn't that beautiful? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Have you found that soul satisfaction that only Jesus can provide? So this psalm has a pattern. You've got a problem. They were lost travelers. You got a prayer. They cried out to the Lord. You got God's provision. He rescued. He delivered. And then God's praise is that chorus that keeps coming up. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you answered. Are you ready for a second illustration? A second painting? Number 2 is, we were like chained prisoners until God freed us. Isn't that descriptive? Imagine being locked away in prison. Some of you can't imagine that because you've been locked away in prison. And God has redeemed you out of that. But what about a dungeon? What about prison in the Bible times? Did it have 3 squares and a TV set? No, you were chained in a dark dungeon. Listen to how it's described here. Here's the problem. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. Isn't that beautiful descriptive language? He said, oh, some of us were like lost travelers. Some of us were like prisoners in a dark dungeon. Can you think of a situation today that might imprison a person? How about slavery to drugs? They just can't. They got every day is all about getting more drugs. They're in prison. They don't even know it. How about alcohol? Can't even get up in the morning without drinking, and drinking all day long until they pass out at night. Some of you maybe aren't that addicted, but you drink every weekend, every evening, a little bit. You're a working alcoholic, but you're still enslaved to it. Alcohol enslaves. Or lust or pornography. Every day going back to the same pictures and the same images. Some of us are enslaved to our hatred or bitterness or anger towards somebody. You're enslaved to that. Many are trapped and ensnared. What he talks about is like it's chains in a dark dungeon. Why are so many in bondage to such vices? Why? Well, the psalmist answers that in verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God. Because they're not listening to God and God's message. They have spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help them. So he allows us to be enslaved so that we might look up for a redeemer. Because they've rejected God's warnings, rejected God's words. You know what? It's interesting. People think, I want to be free. Free to do whatever I want. They think that rebellion brings freedom. You know what rebellion brings? Slavery. Rebellion brings misery and chains. That's what we see here. But the psalmist shows us that there is a way out of slavery. There is someone that can break those chains. Look at verse 13. Then they cried out. There it is again. Each time we see a picture, a miserable picture, we see these people crying out to God. They finally look up. It's like that prodigal son who is there with the swine and feeding the pigs. And he finally looks up and says, I have a father. I'm going to go back to my father. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. This is the same as verse 6. They cried out. Here in verse 13, they cried out. The answer is always the same. Only God can rescue us. Only God can redeem us. If we sincerely cry out to God, he will answer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 continues. He broke them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands apart. He pulled them out of the prison into this daylight and broke their bands, their chains. To Christ, we can be released from the chains of sin, the bondages. We can be free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Only if Jesus frees you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Only Jesus can free you from that bondage you have, those chains you have, to that slavery you have. Remember that song, Amazing Grace? They've added that chorus. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Can you sing that song? Are your chains broken? Are you freed from the bondage that you have? Unfortunately, some Christians continue on in slavery to their vices. God wants to break that. He wants to break those chains, and he will if you'll ask him, if you'll cry out to him. Okay, now that repeated refrain, remember the chorus? Here it is again, verse 15. Let them give thanks. Let them who have been freed from their chains give thanks to the Lord for his love and kindness, and for his wonders to the sons of men. Then it adds, for he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Don't you love that? The gates have been broken away from that prison, and your chains have been broken. Step out of the dark and into the light. You ready for a third illustration, a third word picture, a third dreary picture? Number three, we were like sick patients until God healed us. Sick patients. Imagine yourself too sick to eat, too sick to get out of bed. You're ready to die. That's what he describes in verse 17. Fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. He's picturing the sick, soul-sick person like he's on his deathbed, ready to walk through eternity without God. They're too sick to eat. The cause of their sickness is because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities. Now, we're not in any way saying that every time you get sick, it's because of your sin. He's picturing that. You're like a sick man in bed, soul sick. Sin is a terminal disease. It may go unnoticed by others, but you know you've sinned. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It may go untreated for a long time as we just stuff it away, but it'll eventually bring death because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death, physical death. Sin may seem so exciting for a while. I think it's Hebrews where it talks about the passing pleasure of sin. It's pleasing for a season. But it's like drinking poison. Eventually, it'll ultimately kill you. The wages of sin is death. Many turn to doctors, psychiatrists, counselors for their sin-sick heart. Now, the doctor can help you physically, but he can't help you spiritually. They can only treat surface problems. They can't heal your soul. Only God can heal the soul. Only God can touch your spirit and give you life within. Only Christ can remove the cancer of sin. If you're dealing with guilt for something you've done in the past, your doctor can't give you anything for your guilt. He may give you tranquilizers to help you forget your guilt, but only God can take away the guilt. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. No more shame, no more guilt. All things have become new. You become a new person. You don't have to stay on your sick bed, your death bed. Here's that chorus again. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They prayed. They said, God, help me, help me. They looked up. He saved them out of their distresses. Only Jesus can bring spiritual healing. Would Jesus answer their cry? Or he might say, well, you've made your bed, now lie in it. You've made your bed, now die in it. Is that what Jesus wants? He doesn't want to leave you in your sin-sick soul. Verse 20, he sent his word. This is such a great verse. He sent his word and healed them. God's word is healing. God's word is the message of who Jesus is. And deliver them from their destruction. This is almost prophetical because the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He sent His Word, Jesus, and He's the one that can heal us. Only Jesus is the answer. And that chorus, here we go, verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and kindness. Those who have experienced this healing inside, give thanks to the Lord for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices and thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing. Now the fourth and final illustration. We've seen lost travelers. We were like lost travelers until Jesus found us. We were like chained prisoners until Jesus frees us. We were like sick patients until Jesus comes and heals us. And the fourth one, this is the most descriptive of all. We were like desperate sailors until God rescued us. Desperate sailors until God rescued us. Can you imagine yourself caught in a storm out in the open sea? Now, when this is written, they didn't have motorboats. They didn't have technology. They could just, they're lost out there at sea in the dark with those huge waves. Listen to how this is described in verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and the wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men and were at wit's end. Here the psalmist is describing an awful scene, a helpless scene. Waves are going up so high it feels like they're going into the heavens and crashing down so much they go into the depths. It says they reeled and they staggered. They were helpless, lost at sea. You know, I like fishing and I like the ocean. I went deep sea fishing, and it wasn't the waves, it was the, when we stopped to fish, the diesel smell started coming back into the boat. And so I got sick. Seasick, I guess. I don't know if it's seasick or what, but I literally reeled and staggered. I reeled in my line and staggered with seasickness. That was a miserable. I couldn't wait to get back to shore. Can you imagine being out at sea at night, having a storm come up? At their wit's end. You ever heard that phrase before? That's where it comes from. He's at his wit's end. There it is, in black and white, quoted right from the Bible. They were beyond their navigational skills. Is life that like that for you? Sometimes it's just beyond your ability, your wit's end. You just don't know what to do. People are like these sailors. They're caught up in the storms of life. They're being tossed around by unfortunate circumstances. This doesn't even say it's their fault. They're just out at sea, and God raises up a storm, staggering through life without stability, hopeless, helpless. Does this describe you? Are you overwhelmed? Are you reeling out of control? And like I talked about with the kids, let Jesus take the wheel. Let Jesus take the take your life and direct it into a desired haven. Look at verse 30. We need to cry out to God. Verse 29. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. This is the fourth time we've seen this, isn't it? They cried out. That's the answer every time. It's always look up, look to the Lord. When life gets out of control, when you're at wit's end, cry out to God. He will hear. He can rescue. Now verse 29, the refrain. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. He guided them into the desired haven. What this says is that when we call out to the Lord, he can either calm our hearts in the storm or he'll calm the storm. In this situation, it says he brought calm. We need calm sometimes. You're not going to find calm outside of the Lord. Jesus said, peace I give with you, peace that passes all human understanding, peace that the world can't give you. If you are in a chaos in your life, which I think most of us are, usually, only God can bring peace to your soul and peace to your circumstances. God can bring you into a quiet haven and put your feet back on solid ground. Call out to Jesus. Let him pilot your life. By the way, here we see God's sovereignty. Verse 25, it says he spoke and raised up the stormy wind. Verse 29, he caused the storm to still. Sometimes God allows storms. Sometimes God causes storms. He raises up the storm. But he is also in control of calming the storm. If you call out to Christ, he will not leave you drifting. He will come and rescue you and guide you through the storm. Remember that old hymn? I'm sure this hymn was inspired by this verse. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Have you found that to be true? You've called out to Christ? So this final stanza closes off with that refrain. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love and kindness. Over and over, give thanks to God that he rescued you and for his wonders to the sons of men. Our response when God rescues us, when he answers our prayers, should be praise and thanksgiving. Where should we share our thanks? Who should we share it with? Well, let's first look at verse 32. Let them, those who have been rescued, whether it's for lost travelers or chained prisoners or sick patients or desperate sailors, let them extol him, God, in the congregation of the people. Is this the congregation? When people gather together, not just on your own, off thanking God somewhere, it's me coming together in the congregation of the people and praise him in the seat of the elders. Praise him in public. That's why we have praise and prayer, so you can stand up and say, praise God, he answered my prayers. So we can openly and publicly share our testimonies of praise and thanksgiving to God. And that's not just on Thanksgiving, it should be every day. Not just on Sundays, every day. All right, Psalm 107, we've seen four pictures of salvation, haven't we? Four illustrations, dark pictures, dreary pictures. But I wonder if some of you might be described in them. Are you lost, like the lost traveler? Wandering without clear direction? Living your life without purpose? Are you like a lost traveler? Call out to Jesus. He'll find you. You won't find him, he'll find you. Are you chained, like chained prisoners, in a dungeon, chained, enslaved to sinful habits, vices? Even some Christians can admit this. They haven't got that victory yet. What do? Call out to Jesus. Cry out to God, and he will rescue you. Are you spiritually sick? Remember David, he was a believer, wasn't he? He fell into sin. He says, oh, my body waxed sickness inside. I felt like I was dying during that time. But Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, he says, I was just so weak. I was so miserable. You know, sin and guilt brings misery physically and spiritually and emotionally. Does that describe you? Are you living with guilt? Living with shame? Are you without strength? Well, the answer is always the same. Look to Jesus. He can give you a clean, pure heart. Are you overwhelmed by the storms of life? Are you like these desperate sailors hanging on? Just feeling like you're going to go under at any time? This is your chance to look to Jesus. Say, Lord, rescue me. Cry out to God. He will deliver you. He will rescue you. He will redeem you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Right now in the silence of this moment, maybe you can identify with one of these pictures. Maybe you're like lost traveler, just kind of wandering through life. Maybe you're chained to sinful habits. This is your chance to say, God, release me, free me, help me. Maybe you're spiritually sick. You've got guilt, things that you haven't dealt with. This is the chance to say, Lord, change me from the inside out. Maybe you're just plain overwhelmed by the storms of life. You're just desperately hanging on. Would you pray right now and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and bring calm to my heart and calm to my life. Pray silently just for a moment. Father, this Thanksgiving, we are more thankful for you and for the stuff you provide. We know that we're wonderfully thankful that we have food and lodging and transportation. But Lord, we're thankful that we have salvation, redemption, that you've rescued us, that you've taken us out of the miry clay and put us on solid ground. Lord, I pray for those who are still struggling. Help them to find you. Meet their needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're going to sing that song that I quoted. I know where the worship team is going to lead us in a song in a minute, but just stay in your seats. I just quoted the song, Love Lifted Me. I think you probably have that in your mind since we just read it. Let's just sing it a cappella. Those of you who know it, sing it out. Those of you who don't, you'll learn it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help,
Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
One more verse.
Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. You've been lifted. You've been lifted up to give thanks to the Lord. Let's stand together for a closing song.